Well, again, we're continuing our series that we've been in for a while titled The Bible, A True Story. And it's a series that has already taken us all the way through the Old Testament and then through the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the last few weeks, we found ourselves in the book of Acts, one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it is a powerful book. It shares some powerful stories of how the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the world. And so before we dive into the scripture that we're going to read this morning, I just want to kind of catch us up at where we are in this story. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he had spent a little time with his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. And before he ascended into heaven, he told them to go and wait for the gift that the Father was going to bring to them. And so they did. They went and they were obedient as they waited upon the Lord. And it was on the day of Pentecost when they were worshiping God and praising and waiting for the Father to send his gift, that the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were filled with the power of the Spirit. And it's at this time where we talked about last week where Peter got up and he shared this amazing message with those that were around. And as he shares the gospel of Jesus, we're told that 3,000 came to know the Lord that day. It's an amazing story. And as these people accepted Jesus, they too were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we begin to see many miracles and signs and wonders being done by the apostles in the name of Jesus. And up to this point, things couldn't have really been much better. Everything was going good for the disciples. Everything seemed to be going their way. But as we dive here into Acts chapter 4 this morning, we're going to see that things are about to change, that they're going to start to experience some opposition. The honeymoon is about to come to an end. And so as we pick up in the scriptures this morning, Peter and John have just been a part of an amazing miracle where this man outside the temple courts that had been lame since he was born, he would sit there and beg. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And they heal this man that's been lame for all these years. And so all these people began to gather, and it catches the attention of some of the religious leaders there in the temple, which is where we're going to pick up in the scriptures this morning. And so if you want to follow along with me, it's Acts chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 22, a nice little section of scripture here, but let me read it this morning. It says this: "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So it had been 3,000, and now it was up to 5,000. Verse 5, though, it goes, "The next day the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Cephas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?'" And they're referencing this miracle that happened. Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.' When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, as I said earlier, things have been going pretty well for the disciples and for this new church as it had been rapidly growing. But now, here in chapter 4, they experience some opposition. And we get to see how they responded here in their faith as they're challenged. Now, these 22 verses, they are packed full of insight. And there is so much that we can learn from these verses. But this morning, I just want to share with you four things that we see happen here in the midst of difficult times. Four things that I think can encourage us right now as we're challenged in the midst of difficult times. And so the first thing I want to point out is this, that in the midst of these difficult times, number one, we see the kingdom of God advancing. It's continuing to advance. In the midst of persecution, God's kingdom continues to grow and advance. In verses 3 and 4, it says, "They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Now, the fact is, all throughout history, we've seen the Christian church experience persecution. And all throughout history, we've seen the church grow in the midst of that persecution. You see, the reality is that there are two responses to opposition. We can back down and run from it, or we can face it head on and continue to move forward. And the reason the church has grown year after year and throughout the years in the midst of persecution is because men and women of faith, men and women who love God, have faced this persecution and continued to move forward. And so the question is, what does this truth mean for us today, right now? Now, we are definitely experiencing some crazy and difficult times right now in our world. But if we're honest, and I mean truly honest, we have no idea here in America what real persecution is. We talk about persecution in America, and I've heard people even in these times say that the regulations put on us right now, it's an attack upon the church. But the reality is, it's not just the church that's being kept from gathering in large groups. It's not just the Christian church that's being kept from gathering in large groups. Every human alive right now is dealing with the struggles and challenges of living in a broken, fallen world. And though we're unable to do church in our building right now, it doesn't mean that we're not still doing church. The church isn't still happening. The gospel isn't still spreading. We're still able to gather online. We're still able to lift up praises to the Lord. We're still able to speak the truth, to share the gospel, and to allow Him to speak into our lives. And so we don't here in America really know yet what true persecution is like, because we're not being forced to denounce our faith in Jesus Christ. We're not being marched out into the streets and being murdered for confessing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Yes, things may look different for us than they used to. They may be things that may have shifted or changed. We may have to be more creative. We may have to work harder to do church and to live the lives that He's calling us to live. But I don't think that we can compare what we're going through to the type of persecution that the early church began to experience, or the type of persecution that other Christians throughout the world experience in places like North Korea and China and in Iraq and some of the Middle Eastern areas, because we still have the freedom to worship whoever we want. We still have the freedom to preach the gospel here online. They're not shutting down the internet right now for churches. We're able to speak the truth. And so what does this mean for us today? And personally, I think it means that despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in right now, we have to keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. I wish I had a clip from what's the movie I'm thinking of? This is real embarrassing when you're trying to think things on the spot here on video and you can't think of what it is. It's a Disney movie, and I feel like an idiot because my kids love it and we watch it all the time. But anyways, the theme of that movie is we keep moving forward. I am so embarrassed right now. I can't even think what it is. But anyways, maybe it'll come to me in a little bit and I'll just blurted out in the midst of the message. But we have to keep moving forward right now in these times. Man, even when we're people like me that can't remember things and forget things, we have to keep moving forward. I can't stop this message right now. We're keeping it fresh. We're keeping it live. And so we'll keep moving forward. But we can't let the challenges and frustrations of what's going on right now in our world get the best of us. We can't isolate and give up right now because of what's going on in our world. We have to keep allowing God's grace and love to shine in and through us. It means that regardless of what goes on in the world around us, regardless of who's elected president in November, regardless of who has control of the House or Senate come November, regardless of what regulations or laws are put before us right now in these times, we have to continue to love God and love people to extend His kingdom, because that's what it's about. Because the reality is there isn't any person or government or law that can stop the kingdom of God from advancing. But we have to choose. We have to choose whether or not we're going to be a part of that advancement. And so regardless of what goes on around us, we have to keep seeking God and keep letting our light shine bright for Him. That's what Peter and John and the followers of Jesus were doing here in these scriptures. And God was using them to make a difference in the world around them. His kingdom was continuing to advance. By the way, it just came to me, it's Meet the Robinsons. Yes, keep moving forward. But His kingdom was continuing to advance. And if we're faithful to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and continue to move forward in relationship with Jesus, He will use us to make a difference, regardless of where we live in the world, regardless of what's going on around us, which leads me to the second thing that we see in these scriptures, which is this. Number two, we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in ordinary people. Ordinary people. These religious leaders, they were blown away by Peter and John's power and authority. In verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Anybody else out there unschooled and ordinary, or is it just me? Well, if you're with me here, then this scripture is for us. These religious leaders, they couldn't believe their eyes. First off, they couldn't figure out how Peter and John spoke with such courage in front of these religious leaders, these same religious leaders who had just a little while earlier crucified Jesus. And secondly, they couldn't figure out how a couple of uneducated men could speak with such power and wisdom. This amazing wisdom that came from their words. You see, these religious leaders, they had been educated. They had been trained and schooled. They were scholars, right? That they walked around as if they were scholars, you know, with their head up, their chest out. They were these educated men. But Peter and John, they were uneducated. And they couldn't figure out how could they speak and communicate the way that they did with such power and authority. But then they remembered that Jesus, whom they had tried to get rid of, he was the exact same way. In John 7, verse 15, it says this, "The Jews were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having been taught?'" They were talking about Jesus in that scripture. And now they were saying the same thing about Peter and John. And at the end of verse 13 it says, "And they took note that these men had been with Jesus." That they were starting to put two and two together. Oh, wait a second. There's something here. They were with Jesus. Jesus was like this. They're starting to put things together. Because the reality is their courage and wisdom did not come from a formal education. It came from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus is the same Spirit that now lives in them, that now lives in us. And as we walk in the power of the Spirit, we're able to speak the things of Jesus with courage and power. That's what Peter and John were doing here. And it's the same for us today. We can do the same. Now, I believe that education is a wonderful thing. And I believe that in the world we live in today, it's important that we're continuing to learn, that we're continuing to be educated in some way. And it's because in today's society, in today's world, our education can go a long way. But the thing we have to understand and realize through all of that is the knowledge and education of this world won't make us better Christians. We can be the smartest people in our schools. We can be the most educated people in our world. But it doesn't make us better Christians. It won't get us closer to God. The kind of courage and boldness that we see in Peter and John, the kind of wisdom that they experienced, came from a relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Savior. What we need is a relationship with Him. The kind of relationship that allows us to decrease so that He might increase, that the power of the Spirit might flow in and through us. We need the kind of relationship that causes us to respond the same way that Peter did and John did in verse 20. When they said, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." We can't help it. God's alive in us. He's moving. You should see all that He's done. We can't help but tell what God is doing. That kind of boldness comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And all throughout the Scriptures, we see Jesus using average, ordinary people to speak the truth of who He is. Average, ordinary people. This is exactly what we're seeing here in these Scriptures, and it should be an encouragement to all of us. If we feel average and ordinary, feel like, man, what do I have to give? How can I make a difference? These Scriptures should encourage us, because whether we're educated, uneducated, partly educated, it doesn't matter. What matters is our relationship with Jesus Christ and whether or not we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to work in and through us. And so we see here this morning that the kingdom of God was continuing to advance in the midst of the challenges and difficulties. We see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in ordinary people. And then my next point, it's a little bit different because it's really a negative aspect of what can happen in the midst of challenges and difficulties, which is this. Number three, we see here in these scriptures a worldly response to God's truth. And let me explain what I mean here. In verses 16 and 17, it says, "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in His name." Now, their response here, a little crazy to me. And yet it's a very common response that we see in our world today. You see, verse 16 states reasons to seriously consider the truth of what Peter and John just shared. But in verse 17, we see the response of the leaders, the response of a people who are not interested in the truth. They're only interested in themselves, their own motives, their own desires, their own outcome. And this worldly desire of self causes them to try to cover up the truth with falsehood. It's like saying, look, people with cancer are being healed by this new amazing drug, but it's going to hurt our business, so let's get rid of it. Let's not let anybody know. Let's ban it from the world. Now, I know that that's a drastic illustration, but if you think about it, that's what's really happening in these scriptures. Jesus is bringing healing and life into our world. And the religious leaders are trying to shut it down, to keep it from happening. You see, one of the sad realities of our world is that when we benefit from a wrong, we often turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to whatever it is that we shouldn't be doing. We don't listen to the truth and how we really should live because we're benefiting over here. And the fact is, I think all of us struggle with this at times in our lives. As we read through the Bible, there are many truths that many of us, many people deny. But why? Why do we deny them? Why do we not believe some of these truths? Because they contradict the lives that we're living, the things that we want to be doing. We don't want to admit that some of the things that we're doing are wrong, that they're not what Jesus has for us. Our mind has this way of selectively seeing what we want to see. Oftentimes it sees whatever will justify our belief, whatever will justify our desires and what we want to see happen, what we think is right. God didn't really mean for me to put others first, really? Because then who's gonna look after me if I'm putting everybody else first? God didn't really mean for me to love my enemies, right? Because, I mean, have you seen them? And maybe I'm talking to Republicans and Democrats here and all these views that we have of one another. We don't really have to forgive others, do we? I mean, who could forgive someone that did that to me? Or God doesn't really care if I have sex outside of marriage, does he? I mean, come on, everybody does it nowadays. What's the big deal? And so on and so on and so on, and we get farther and farther away from the truth. You fill in the blanks there. What are those truths that we kind of wash over, pretending like we don't know the truth? How are we responding to the truths that God is revealing to us? Are we accepting these truths and seeking to bring change to our life? Because God knows that we're sinners. He says, come as you are. It's okay. We're sinners. But the key is that as he begins to reveal these things to our life, as he begins to show us the ways that we need to change, are we changing or are we just continuing to live the same way? Are we responding like the religious leaders who were covering up the truth for their own selfish desires? Peter and John here, they were living out the truth, which brings us to the final point I want to share this morning in these scriptures, which is this. We see Peter and John stand up for what they know is right. In verses 19 and 20, we see Peter and John's response to this threat. They say, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, I am sure that this response ticked off these religious leaders because it assumes something that the religious leaders would refuse to accept, and that is the fact that these religious leaders were wrong, that these religious leaders were not speaking on behalf of God as they acted like they were. Peter says, should we listen to God or to you? And this is a question that they couldn't answer without admitting that they weren't on God's side, that they were on the wrong side. You see, the basis for Peter's response is the reality that he was operating on behalf of the Lord, that this man was healed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were simply obeying God. And obeying God comes before obeying these religious leaders. As Christians, we're called to walk in the ways of the Lord, to love the Lord and to obey his commands. That's what we're told in the scriptures. The problem is, all too often we listen to the voices and influences of the world around us instead of listening to the voice of God. The world will always have its opinions. The enemy will always be whispering in your ear. And a lot of the time, the voices of the world, those voices in our ear, are louder and more threatening. We see it here. Peter and John were being threatened. But as Christians, the only thing we should fear is God himself. The only thing we should really fear is not listening to the Lord. It's disobeying him. That's what we should fear. Remember the Israelites? It's been a long time since we were back in that section of the Bible as we've walked through the Bible. But if you remember back then, the Israelites, they failed to listen to the Lord. And they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. And all throughout the scriptures, we see God's people continue to struggle, continue to fail to walk in obedience. And why? Because they continue to choose the way of the world instead of the way of the Lord. Now, am I saying that if we choose to walk in the way of the world, that our lives will be perfect and without problem? No, I'm not saying that at all. Well, what I'm saying is that when we choose God, when we choose to walk in his truth and the things of him, we can have peace knowing that he will guide and direct our path, knowing that his hand is upon our life. We can have peace knowing that he will give us the courage and boldness like he did Peter and John, so that we can keep moving forward in the midst of difficulties and challenges. And the peace of being in God's will, the peace of following God's truth, will always be better than the difficulties and challenges of being outside of his will, of disobeying his truth. Excuse me. If you read farther into the book of Acts, you'll find that things get a lot more difficult for the followers of Jesus. Like I said, it had been pretty good up until this point. But if you keep reading, you'll see that they started to face persecution, that many of them were killed for their belief in Jesus, for confessing His name. But they continued to press on, and they continued to persevere because they knew the truth. They had experienced God in their lives firsthand, and they knew that walking in His love and obedience was worth it. And all of us have to make a decision. It's like Joshua's word to the Israelites when he said, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Peter and John had decided that they would serve the Lord. They had made their decision. And the reality is, each of us have to make that same decision. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to walk in His truth? Or are we going to serve the world and the lies of the enemy? Are we seeking the truth? Or do we allow our eyes to be blinded and believe the things that the world continues to feed us? As I mentioned earlier, we don't experience persecution here in America the way people do in other parts of our world. But that doesn't mean that our faith isn't continually challenged. And the question is, how are we responding to those challenges? How are we responding right now in these times? Are we getting angry and lashing out at people on social media? Or are we trusting in the Lord? Are we standing strong in our faith like Peter and John do in their scriptures? Or in these scriptures? Or are we allowing the world to get the best of us? The key is staying connected to Jesus and growing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, they were full of the Spirit and they stood strong in these times. We have to continue to seek the Lord and continue to allow His Spirit to give us the strength to keep moving forward in these times of difficulty. We can't let isolation, we can't let the fact that we can't gather here together on Sundays keep us from continuing to dive into the Lord, from continuing to open up God's Word and allow His Spirit to flow into our lives. We have to continue to reach out to people, to love people, to stay connected. Yes, it's harder than it was before, but we have to keep moving forward and we have to allow God to do the things that He wants to do in our life so that His kingdom can come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's finish with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Acts. And Lord, as we look at the early church, we see that they faced opposition. But in the midst of that opposition, they continued to press forward. They continued to seek You and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to keep them moving forward. And Lord, that's my desire for us today, that in the midst of these times, it'd be so easy just to step back and to get frustrated and to begin to live life like the rest of the world. But my prayer is that we would be people who stand strong, who dive in closer to You, Lord, who seek more of You and less of us, Lord. That we allow the power of Your Holy Spirit to move in and through our lives so that we can be the men and women of God that You are calling us to be in these times. So that we can see the movement of God advance in the midst of difficulties and challenges, Lord. And so we want to be a part of what You're doing. And so I just pray that You would meet each of us right where we're at today, right now in this moment, Lord. What are we experiencing? What are we frustrated with? What is hard right now in these times? May we give these things to You and allow Your Spirit to give us the strength and boldness to get up and begin to move forward, to reach out to people, to love one another, to do whatever it is that You're calling us to do in this moment, in this time, Lord. And so we give you this word. We give you these things. May you allow them to speak to each of us right where we're at in this moment, in this time. And may we now, may we respond to those things that you're speaking to us, Lord. May we not just hear this word and go, oh, that was good. Yeah, I should make some changes and then do nothing about it. But that we would hear your word and that we would begin to do the things that we need to do. Diving in to your word, seeking you with all that we are, allowing your spirit, Lord, to increase in us so that we can advance your kingdom. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.